بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we continue the solutions to the different spiritual maladies that people had, and they had written to Hazrat Arif Billah Akim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, and he's the solution that he had provided to these people who had written to him with regard to their spiritual maladies, and such maladies which are common, and many of us at times experience similar conditions. And therefore, we continue these, or we continue discussing the solution that was provided by Hazrat Arif Billah Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who was experienced in this field of tazkiyah. And the solution that he had provided, alhamdulillah, was beneficial to most of the people who had written to him, and it became a means of them changing their lives, making sincere tawbah, and becoming close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala make all of us His true lovers. May Allah help us to ponder, to reflect. These are questions and problems that all of us do experience sometime or the other. No names have been taken. Sometimes, like one or two people have written, they found it very beneficial. And they even went to this extent to state, to say, that it was as though, although this was there in Pakistan and many other countries of the world, people had written, the person said, I feel like everyone was referring to me, and the person found great benefit in it. So let us listen attentively to these questions that were posed to him regarding Islah, Reformation, all these things related to the heart and the maladies of the heart, and how we can purify our heart, and how we can gain the attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some person had written, this is a letter from a woman who was caught up in false love. And as I mentioned previously, women also get caught up into this, into illicit relationships and false love. But this person was honest, and she wrote her, she says, that even after giving up sins, my heart is very restless. So she was caught up in this false love with a person. Then she gave up this sin, but her heart was still very restless. At times the heart desires to commit the sin of false love again, and the heart feels stressed at not committing it. So this is the question. Person made tawbah, person gave up the sins, but again the person is being tempted to go back to that sin and that false love. So the reply Hazrat gave, he says, the restlessness which you experience at not committing sin is better than the peace of committing sin. Because there is no comparison between the two. Now this statement should be written in gold. It is such a solution that many people ask, this is the problem, we made tawbah, istighfar, again, we're getting caught up in this love, or there's a great temptation. But the person is not going towards that love. The person is being pulled, but the person is withdrawing, refraining from the sin. And this causes restlessness in the heart. This causes some bechaini, some pain. So he says, this restlessness in being unable to commit that sin is far better than committing the sin and getting a few seconds or a few minutes of some type of satisfaction. A person feels by indulging in sin, then he'll get some type of enjoyment. So, but that enjoyment is only for a few minutes only. So the restlessness which you experience at not committing sin is better than the peace of committing sin, because there's no comparison between the two. This restlessness is a means to Allah's pleasure and proximity. This restlessness, when a person is now being enticed by guna, and the person is refraining, not giving in, so this restlessness is a means to to gaining Allah's pleasure and proximity, whilst that peace, so-called peace, which the person experiences by committing sin, is the cause of Allah's azab and wrath. Seek refuge in Allah Ta'ala from the desire to amuse the heart with ghairullah, with others besides Allah Ta'ala. Cry out and make dua that the mere thought of amusing the heart through disobedience should cause your heart to become restless. So it's just to appease the nafs, to make the nafs happy, to amuse the nafs. As I say, make dua, cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because amusing the nafs and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a very serious offense, a very serious sin. And this causes the person then to become restless. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to continue reflecting, pondering. These questions, these solutions are some things that we have to keep on reflecting, pondering. That am I also a victim of this? If I am, then this is a solution. Let me make. Pluck up that courage, that himmat, to now try and make my islah and not just fall in so easily into these type of sins. Somebody else had written, I am now 28 years old and not married as yet. Of course, this is a problem. But this girl writes, sister writes, when anyone comes to see me, they do not show any interest in me. This makes me feel inferior. Hazrat, at times, I start complaining against Allah Ta'ala. I do not utter the complaint verbally, but my heart complains by thinking that Allah Ta'ala neither made me attractive, nor blessed me with wealth. It's very common also. Many sisters, unfortunately, no good proposal comes to them. So they feel dejected, they feel rejected, they feel low. Perceived. The problem here is, that this person is saying, it feels, makes me feel, or I begin to complain against Allah Ta'ala. Even though it's not verbally, but the heart is making this complaint. That Allah Ta'ala didn't give me any beauty, Allah did not give me any wealth, that's why nobody is coming for me. Hazrat answers, he says, reason for this is that when it comes to worldly matters, you are looking at those who are better than you. Whereas the order is to look at those who are below you in worldly matters, and you should look at those above you in dini matters. And the reason for this, when a person looks at people who are inferior to him or her in dunya, somebody who has got lesser wealth than you have, somebody is less attractive than you are, then you will appreciate the ni'mat Allah has given you. So in dunya, you must always look at the person who is lower than you. In other words, he's got lesser ni'mats that you are enjoying. If you have got a pair of shoes, look at that person who's got no shoes at all. If you are able to walk, then look at that person who's paralyzed. Then you'll appreciate the ni'mat of legs. If you are able to see, look at that person who is blind. You'll appreciate the ni'mat of sight. And you won't think that you are so inferior and everybody else, they've got so much of dunya. But matters of deen, aspire to be like those pious servants of Allah. People making tilawat and making so much of dhikr, and they're living such a righteous and pious life. So aspire to be like them. So in far as dunya is concerned, you look at people lower than you. Far as deen is concerned, you look at people above you. So you may try and imitate them. You have some goal to achieve. You got some people to try and catch up with. As far as akhirat, far as deen is concerned. So you see, by doing this, you will have the desire and urge to progress in deen. As regard worldly matters, you will become grateful by looking at those who have less than you. You are looking at a few shortcomings in yourself. Not attractive, not having wealth. But you're not pondering over the numerous favors which Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon you. There are many people who have cancer and are trembling and palpitating out of pain. There are many who are in abject poverty, many who are being humiliated and abused. Ponder over all the bounties of Allah Ta'ala daily for 5 minutes only. That's it, just 5 minutes every day. And 5 minutes is nothing. And ponder over the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single day for 5 minutes. And the quality of gratitude, shukr, will develop in your heart. The sifat of shukr, gratitude, will come into your heart. So this type of muraqabah is essential, that a person should now contemplate over the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very similar, somebody has written, and these are statements made by many people. Allah ta'ala protect our iman, Allah protect our lives, Allah protect our family members, our progeny. The person has written, did Allah ta'ala not say in the Quran, Alisallahu bikafin abada? Is Allah not sufficient for his servant? This is the Quranic verse. Is Allah not sufficient for his servant? So this person writes, did Allah not say this? So why is Allah Ta'ala not sufficient for me? Allah Ta'ala is closer than the jugular vein. Why then does he not look at my problems? He knows that I cannot bear these pains. Allah has promised also, inna ma'al usri yusra, with every difficulty comes ease. Why is this not the case with me? Am I not a servant of Allah Ta'ala? I have developed an inferiority complex because of my conditions. Every person who is happy appeals to me, but I have become remorseful of happiness. As that the condition of my heart and mind is most strange. When I lie down to sleep at night, I do not fall asleep. My blood pressure is increasing. Will I remain trembling like this? Is there nothing but grief and calamity for me? Very similar questions. Sometimes we also make these type of statements, Allah protect us. Very dangerous, extremely dangerous. As I see, these are statements of severe ingratitude and impatience. Be sabri, no sabr. No qana'at, no contentment, no shukr. He writes, he says, repent, make tawbah, or else the rewards which are promised for calamities will also be lost to you. In other words, when a person suffers some musibat, and if he does not complain, and he endures, and he makes sabr, he has patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got great reward for such a person. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. For those who make sabr, Allah says, there is unlimited sawab for them. No limit. There's a riwayat on the day of Qiyamah, a group of people will be moving towards Jannat. Angel will come and stop them. Who are you? Where are you going? He said, no, we are أَهْلُ الصَّابِرِينَ. We are أَهْلُ sabr. We are the sabirin. We are those who made sabr. So then the angel say, yes, yes, you continue, you carry on. But if a person doesn't make the sabr, then all the reward which is promised for sabr upon calamities, this person will lose all that blessing. Understand well, calamities and difficulties come for our benefit as well. This is something that most of us do not understand. Calamities and difficulties come for our benefit as well. Provided a person exercises patience. Person has to have sabr. And when does sabr take place? Not 10 years after the calamity came down. Sabr is innama sabru inda sadmatil ula. At that very first shock of loss of anything, whatever calamity, and the person exercises sabr at that time, he does not complain against Allah. He may shed tears, that is natural. Loss of property, loss of wealth, loss of family, children, whatever. But the person does not complain against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, why you took my child away? Why you destroyed my shop or my factory? The person entrusts or he turns his attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he accepts the condition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put him into. So understand well, calamities and difficulties come for our benefit as well, provided a person exercises sabr and patience. If not, understand this, that impatience and ingratitude will not alter one's taqdeer. Impatience will not change your taqdeer. Rather, one may even lose his iman and cause loss to one's own self. The reason for this ingratitude is that we are insensitive to the bounties of Allah Ta'ala. And because we have made decisions for ourselves, that this is how we have to live in this world, this is what we have to possess, this is what is supposed to happen, etc., etc., etc. So we have made our own decisions. We want life to be in a certain manner for us. But we all know life is not a bed of roses. There will be tests and trials and tribulations, especially for a believer. It It's mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The more musibat a person suffers, the more calamities that befall a person, and he makes sabr on those calamities, then he is more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, they went through the most greatest of trials and tribulations, because they enjoyed that close proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have made our own decisions for our lives. We want our lives to move in a certain way. If a person is pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, you caused this to happen, and you have taken this away from me. Ya Allah, this is your decision, your decree. So if a person is pleased with the decree of Allah ta'ala, then difficulties most certainly become easy for that person, and his heart remains satisfied. May Allah protect us from musibat. May Allah bless us with afiyat all the time. But when the musibat comes, the person makes what you call taslim or rida. In other words, he accepts and he is happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then that musibat becomes easy for him. He realizes, Allah ta'ala had decided this for me. So I'm happy with whatever Allah ta'ala has put me to. He says, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. Praise be to Allah on every condition. Like that person, that Buzruk was sitting and somebody came and told him that, you know, your ship with all the goods, the whole thing sank. He said, Inna lillah. After somebody came and said, it wasn't your ship is okay. He said, Alhamdulillah. It did not affect his heart. Why? He was happy with whatever decree Allah Ta'ala had for him. Whatever Allah had decided, he accepted it. Like the poet says, I experienced jubilation due to the acceptance of divine decisions. And in adversity and grief, O Akhtar, the soul undergoes no affliction. Now, Hazrat Rahmatullah's poem it is. So Hazrat says, did you ever ponder over the words this person had said? The verse of the Quran, Alayhi sallahu bikafin abada, is Allah not sufficient for his servant? So if this was the Quranic verse this person put forward, and he says, so am I not the servant of Allah? Is Allah not sufficient for, why isn't Allah sufficient for me? So Hazrat says, ponder over these words, Alaysallahu bikafin abda. Is Allah not sufficient for his servant? For his servant. What is the meaning of his servant? Is Allah Ta'ala not sufficient for his servant? Ask yourself this. Are we the servants of Allah or the servants of our nafs? Have we become abd of our nafs, or are we true abd of Allah Ta'ala? Allah says he is sufficient for his servant, not for the servant of the one who has become the servant of his own nafs, a slave of his nafs, follows the dictates and commands of his nafs. One who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in reality, he is the true servant of Allah, and Allah becomes sufficient for that person. So we are disobedient to Allah Ta'ala at every breath we take, yet Allah Ta'ala shows his mercy at every breath of ours. Is Allah Ta'ala still not sufficient for us? How are we able to breathe? Is Allah not sufficient for us? Look at how Allah conceals our faults. We attached our heart to someone other than Allah Ta'ala. If he were to expose this to the people, would they have not spat on our face? Think of your past life. From what conditions Allah removed you? That we forget. Our past. What type of lives we led and we lived. So Allah Ta'ala gave us tawfiq of changing our lives. So he removed us from those conditions. Was he not sufficient for us then? What humiliation he saved you from. Just stop breathing for a single minute and think to yourself, what a great bounty this breath is. If Allah Ta'ala were to impose such an illness upon you, whereby it becomes difficult for you to breathe, then think, what is easier? Your present grief or the difficulty to breathe? In short, think of Allah Ta'ala's bounties daily for 5 minutes, and this condition of ingratitude will go away, and you will develop gratitude and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Tafsir Usmani, in the tafsir of Inna ma'al usri yusra, with every difficulty becomes ease, this applies to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een, but it is still the norm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when a person exercises patience over hardship and he sincerely places his trust in Allah ta'ala and he turns away from everyone and directs his attention to Allah ta'ala, then he remains hopeful of Allah ta'ala's grace. He does not lose patience when there is delay in success. Then Allah ta'ala will certainly bring ease for him. Make dua for well-being, for comfort, removal of grief and sorrow. But remain pleased with the decree of Allah ta'ala. No matter what condition he keeps you in and for how long. We cannot fathom the wisdom of Allah ta'ala. This is also the bottom line of all the solutions to our problems. We cannot fathom the hikmat, the wisdom of Allah ta'ala. We look at from our understanding that it should have happened like this, and why is it happening like that, and why so many people are suffering there, and why this and why that. Like somebody said, we have got minuscule brains. With these small brains, how are we going to fathom the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now Allah ta'ala doesn't have to come and explain to us every single moment and every single day, I did this because of this and because of that. He is the creator. We are his slaves. And this is a solution to people who have turned away from Islam. Because they cannot comprehend the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or they are trying to comprehend the wisdom of Allah ta'ala. When a person tries to probe into matters and go deep down and to understand why like this and why not like this. Remember, we are human beings. And our brains, our intelligence only reaches a certain point. Allah is far above all that. Put the whole world together. Nobody can equal even one small, tiny, or fragment of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, we should not try and find out and understand the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wisdom of Allah ta'ala. When those who suffered hardship in this world, and they will receive the rewards on the day of Qiyamah. Those who went through great pain, suffering, distress and hardship and calamities in dunya. On the day of Qiyamah, when they will get the reward for sabr, they will hope that their skins were cut with scissors in this world so that they would have received even more rewards. The akhirat is something totally different. Like for example, for dua, when we explain dua, the duas are accepted. Sometimes the exact thing you want, Allah gives you that. Sometimes what you're asking for, Allah gives you something better than that. Sometimes some musibat is driven away because of the dua. You made dua for a car, but Allah save you from some accident. You made dua for a son, Allah give you a daughter, but she brought great blessings and barakat. So sometimes you ask for something, Allah give you something better. And sometimes you see that whatever you ask for, or anything of that nature, material thing, is not found. You don't get it in the world. But Allah Ta'ala will save it for you, and Allah stores it for you as a zakhira, provision, as good deeds in the hereafter. So when you go to the hereafter, you will say, Allah, where's all this sawab from? I didn't make so much of ibadat, etc. Allah will say, you made those duas in the world, and you asked for certain things. I did not grant you those things. Neither did I remove a calamity because of the dua you made, but I kept it here. I stored it for you now, so the person will desire then, how I wish all my duas in dunya was not accepted, and I receive all the reward here in the akhirat. Because in akhirat, the person realizes, remain there forever and ever and ever. And every single neki counts over there. Even if a person is getting jannat, he still wants the most beautiful palace in jannat. So the more sawab he has there is all to his benefit. So similarly here also, when a person sees the reward for sabr, then he will wish that he went through even more greater tests and trials and tribulations in dunya so that he may get that more reward in the akhirat. Person says, I repented but my heart is still trying to go towards sin. I tried very hard to love Allah Ta'ala, but it is not happening. Allah Ta'ala does not want my love. This is the person saying. Looks like Allah doesn't love me. I know this. Another says, it is foolish to think like this. Allah Ta'ala loves His servants. Allah Ta'ala loves His servants. And this is out of His own accord. His own will. Nobody can force and compel Allah Ta'ala to love any person. So if Allah loves a person, why should Allah dislike somebody? Allah loves His banda. The inspiration to love Him is also from Him. The fact that a person gets the desire to love Allah Ta'ala, that is also from Allah Ta'ala. That He's creating that urge in your heart to love Him. So that too is from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. If He does not love His servants, no one will be able to love Him. So the fact that you are making the attempts to love Allah Ta'ala, that sharp inclination is coming in the heart, is a sign that Allah loves you. But again, we are not patient. We expect to see miracles happening overnight. Most of the time it is the whisperings of shaitan, and many of the problems Hazrat had given answer, reply to, he said, see, that you haven't committed this sin. A desire to commit this sin is not a sin. Just an inclination. Person gets in, feels the urge comes, but still you haven't committed the sin. You only become a sinner when you commit the sin. So desires will come, temptations will come. You have to suppress those desires. You can't give in to those desires. But that won't make you a sinner. So many times is the whisperings of shaitan. Nafs and shaitan. Shaitan will cause so many type of insinuations in the heart. And he makes what he wants. He wants to make you commit the sin, or he wants you to lose all hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And he makes you feel you such a weakling and so useless. And there's no hope for you. So when a person does all this, then all the good deeds he was doing, he gives all those things up. He abandons his good. And this is what shaitan wants. He wants to see you not obeying Allah Ta'ala. He cannot bear any person worshipping Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He can't take it. So he tries to deviate you. So even in your salat also, shaitan will come and put waswasa in your heart. And he'll make you remember such things which you forgot before salat. In salat, you said salat, you'd actually remember my car keys, I left it there. Yeah, I forgot I got to meet that person. I got to do that thing to pay and that account to sort out. In the namaz, he'll make you think of your business, your shops. And therefore, again, that whole topic of concentration in salat and not entertaining these thoughts of shaitan, to ignore them totally and just continue your salat. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Person had written, he says, I'm in the habit of disputing, arguing, irrespective of whether it is with my father, mother, or anyone else. If I'm in the right, and the one before me does not accept, I dispute with him through proofs and evidence. This applies to both worldly matters and deeni matters. Some people are naturally, we say, jagralu, aladdul khisam. Every time, arguing and fighting. This part and parcel of their life. It's become their blood. So every time, he's just arguing and proving a point. As he says, do not dispute, because it causes darkness in the heart. Do not dispute, it causes darkness in the heart. If anyone does not accept what you have to say, remain silent. If you have to prove something, shari'i, masla, whatever it is, you give the dalils and finish. But you yourself should remain steadfast on the truth. You should remain on the truth. You did your duty. And when it comes to dunya matters, for no reason. Innocently people are talking, and this person will take over some controversial topic just to start. It happens so often. It is a function taking place, or we have gathered together, family or friends, and everything. And the person will start with some controversial topic. And he's got his viewpoint. And he's waiting for others to have a different viewpoint, an opposing viewpoint. And then he'll start. Now he wants to prove how intelligent he is. As I say, do not dispute. It causes darkness in the heart. Simple. May Allah protect us from darkness of the heart. And may Allah illuminate and brighten our hearts. So with such people, Salamun alaykum la nabtaghil jahilin. Don't discuss too much with them. You move on. Otherwise, unnecessarily you will say something and it will cause serious problems for every person. One of my illnesses is that whenever my eyes fall on a new car, I develop the desire to have one like that. I have an intense desire to possess a new car and a good car. I am able to recognize every new car from a distance and say which model it is and which company it is made by. In fact, by merely hearing its hooter, its horn, I can tell you which car is passing by. MashaAllah. Similarly, if I see a nice house, I desire to possess one like it. When I see a nice house, I study it closely. Hazrat, do these habits of mine expose my love for this world? If it does, kindly provide me with the treatment. Hazrat answers, the hadith states, engage in excessive remembrance of the thing which puts an end to all pleasures, and that is death, mort. Akthiru dhikra hadhi min ladhat al-maut. Remember often, remember in abundance, mort. What is mort? Hadhi min ladhat, the cutter, the terminator, the destroyer of all pleasures. He says, constantly think to yourself that you will have to leave the possessions of this world one day. So what benefit is there in attaching the heart to them? The more the heart becomes attached to something, the more sorrow one will feel when one has to leave it, or one cannot attain it. You should also not worry about acquiring goods, house, etc. more than what is necessary. See how nicely these mashayikh say, don't worry about those things which are more than your needs. At the same time, do not make too many plans for the future. Restrict the possession of this world to necessity and comfort, but do not remain in constant worry and fikr for them, about them. Make dua for things of necessity and comfort, such as livelihood, a house, and then free the heart for Allah Ta'ala. If others have something which you do not have, then do not worry about it. Do not hope for it. Do not be greedy of it. These are all temporary and fleeting things. Do not be grieved over the world, because this is a baseless grief. Eat simple food, wear simple clothes. Think about the lives of our pious elders who paid no attention to this world. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. These are all serious matters which we all go through. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal and bring these things in our lives, inshallah. Again, sister who writes, she says, Hazrat, I'm very stressed for the past 10 years. Various thoughts constantly trouble me. At times I have evil thoughts about Allah Ta'ala. And at times evil thoughts about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm very disturbed by all this. Hazrat, when this happened the first time, I became very scared. My heart was very disturbed. I felt that I will die now. My anxiety increased to such a point that while I was in this stressful condition, I went away to the madrasa in the town and wanted to study the translation of the Quran. On going there, I learned that they did not teach the translation of the Quran, but that I would have to study the entire course in accordance to Dars-e-Nizami. That's the normal course that is taught in the madrasas in Darul Ulooms. So I therefore took, I enrolled myself in the first year, the sister. Then she went to a girl's madrasa, she enrolled. Hazrat, my heart continued feeling disturbed and I did not understand anything. However, I continued attending the classes. In this way completed the entire Alima course. During the course of my studies, these evil thoughts continued and my heart continued feeling disturbed. Hazrat answered, he says, do not be disturbed by the whisperings of shaitan. They are certainly not harmful to one's deen. Rather, this is proof of one's iman. Rasulullah gave the certificate of clear iman to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in over these whisperings. Be happy that Allah Ta'ala blessed you with the wealth of iman. A thief only goes to a place where there are goods. It is only a believer who experiences whisperings, not a disbeliever. Because he is deprived of the wealth of iman. Shaitan will go to a believer to snatch away his iman. The treatment for whisperings is to pay no attention whatsoever to them. Give no importance to them. Do not occupy yourself with them. Do not try to chase them away. Occupy yourself in some lawful task. Hazrat, of course this is the brother, I don't think it's the sister. I'm in the habit of smoking cigarettes. This causes me great stress. The person has written, I smoke 2 cigarettes a day. No, others have many more cigarettes that they smoke. Kindly guide me in this regard. Hazrat said, just as it takes courage to free oneself from every sin, in like manner, the cigarette smoking can be given up through courage. The person has to have courage to give it up. When you feel like smoking, combat this feeling and make a firm resolution that you will never bear the little pleasure that you experience for a little while by smoking. It is easy to give up smoking just 2 cigarettes. But if you do not give up this habit, it will not decrease but increase. And from 2, it will go to 20 and much more. May Allah protect us. May Allah help us to cleanse and purify our hearts, live in a mahal of nur and hidayat, not in a mahal of filth. We'll just take one more, inshallah. A salik, person who was treading this path of tazkiyah, deviated from the straight path, was caught up in the sin of false love. Again, his love, this love is not love of Allah Ta'ala, it's a false love, love of some haram person. In other words, this type of love was not a love for a person's wife, mother, father or children, but for some other person where it is haram to have such a love for. And the person, straight from the path, became despondent of his reformation. So Hazrat replied to him, he said, I receive your letter. It is extremely surprising that you considered your sin to be greater than the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Person went astray and then he lost hope in Allah's mercy. So as I say, I'm surprised that you consider your sin to be greater than the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. If this entire earth and the skies were to be filled with sins and a servant expresses his remorse and repents just once sincerely, the mercy of Allah Ta'ala is such that Allah forgives all the sins there and then. Allah Ta'ala is all forgiving. Allah is all merciful. It is man who commits sins. Did you ever see angels committing sins? When a person commits a mistake and experiences remorse over it, and in this remorse of his, he repents and cries before Allah Ta'ala, then it is stated in Hadith al-Qudsi that the crying and weeping of sinners is more beloved to me, to Allah Ta'ala, than the sounds of those who engage in the tasbih of Allah Ta'ala, in the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. The consequence of this remorse, when a person makes sincere tawbah, then he surpasses the angels even. You should therefore offer 2 rakats of nafil salah, ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness by crying and weeping before him. Make a firm resolution in your heart, oh Allah, I will not commit this sin in the future. Have this full conviction that all your sins have been forgiven. Thereafter, do not even think of your sin, because we have not been created for the remembrance of our sins. We have been created for the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. That's a very important point. Many people say, Marana, we made tawbah, istighfar, but then again, I'm feeling like those sins are not forgiven. No. Believe Allah has forgiven you, and don't worry about remembering about, don't remember those sins. Don't think about those sins. We have not been created for the remembrance of our sins. We have been created for the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala does not merely forgive those who repent. Rather, He states in the Quran, we make those remorseful sinners and those who repent, we make them our beloved ones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to make islah of ourselves. There's a simple, simple question that were posed and the beautiful solutions provided by Arif Billah. Hazrat Maqsad Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi min Allah Ta'ala. Make his qabr full with nawarat and light. May Allah Ta'ala help us to implement these beautiful teachings from Quran and Hadith. It's all from Hadith, from Quran and the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that these pious people learnt from their great mashayikh, and they in turn learned from their mashayikh, right till Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, who learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala has made it so easy for us, that there's this melody and there's a solution. May Allah give us the tawfiq of implementing these things in our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.